Good evening and welcome, albeit a couple of minutes late, to the Higher Dimensions. This is Phyllis Pricer, your hostess. I'm sorry, I had a phone number wrong, and it doesn't work if you don't dial the right number. But I am so pleased to welcome tonight our guest, Miss Jean Darby. Mrs. Jean Darby. She's written a book called Journey Out of Darkness. Jean is a former teacher and a graduate of the University of California, and has a PhD from the City University of Los Angeles. Oh, she's published 58 books for young children, biographies for young adults, articles for teachers and parents, and a humorous newspaper column. At any rate, she's a mother, a grandmother, and she's a foster mother. And I want to introduce to you this lovely lady, Jean Darby, whose newest book, Journey Out of Darkness, I've just read. Good evening.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Glad to hear from you.
Well, thank you very much. I am so glad you've decided to be our guest this evening. And your publicist contacted me because he thought you had written a fabulous story, and you had a story you wanted to tell about a young lady whom you befriended and then and became a surrogate mother to, if I'm not mistaken, yes?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, well, I'd like you to tell these lovely people about your story, a little bit about who you are, and the story, and how you came to write it.
All right, I'd love to do that. I have a daughter that went away to college, and she was going to summer school. And while she was there, she met a younger girl who was only 15, and she was taking courses at the college during the summer school because she was a very, very bright student. And as the days went along, she realized that this girl was not going into the cafeteria to eat, and she wasn't dressed like the other girl. She was ragtag and didn't seem to be very well taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And so my daughter began to take her into the dormitory and feed her.
Mm-hmm.
And into the cafeteria. And at the end of the summer, my daughter called and said, "Mama, Rita can't go home." And I was, of course, surprised. I said, and she said, "I hope you don't mind, Mama, but I told her she could come home with me."
Mm-hmm.
And I explained to her that I couldn't take her because she had a family. And my daughter said, "Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it." And she got on the bus and went to these people's home.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, right away, through telephone conversations, I packed this girl up and took her home with me.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got home, I realized after a few days that she had been reared by a satanic witch.
Okay, a satanic witch.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And so she brought her demons with her.
Uh-huh.
And her story is fantastic because she was born an identical triplet. And one triplet died, but she had an identical twin. And
mm-hmm.
she had to be separated from her twin because her mother wouldn't let me have the twin.
Uh-huh.
And she graduated from high school, and
mm-hmm.
she graduated from nursing school, and she has been able to live in this world and be a real contributor.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, I fell in love with her. I just adored her.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had wonderful times together.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that her story is worth other people reading if they ever plan to adopt a child,
mm-hmm.
or if they have doubts about what we can do for children, if
mm-hmm.
we just put our energy into it and love them and
mm-hmm.
guide them and educate them, we can save them.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the story of saving Cassie.
Okay. Okay. This is so much more because in it you give a lot of the story of her life. And from what I read, it's a pretty appalling story that anyone, I don't care what you do for how you worship, to me, it's just an unnatural mother type of thing, you know?
Yes.
It's horrifying in its lack of compassion and caring for two small children and leaving them alone and, you know, just neglect and abuse and abusiveness and, you know, throwing one child over another. Can you tell us some of the instances that you found out about, like, you offered to take her, and the woman couldn't wait for you to get rid of to take her and get rid of her. She told you what? She didn't want her anymore?
Oh, she told me that she just never behaved, and she just didn't want her anymore, and she was just in. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Joe, will you get my doggie?
That's all right. It's okay. That's all right. We're on live air. It's okay. You keep talking no matter what.
But that was it. She just didn't want her. She was always in trouble. They used to give her drugs, and the whole family would go out to dinner and leave Rita sleeping because they just didn't want to have her with them.
Oh, my. That's appalling. They'd take the other child, right?
Oh, yes, and there were two boys.
Okay.
And they took the whole family with them, but they would just give her drugs and so that she would sleep while they were gone.
I see.
And so it was just a matter of rejection from day one, I guess. And
okay.
I don't know why, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've heard of instances where families will take against one offspring,
mm-hmm.
and I had considered that it may well have been a karmic situation in past life. But it sounds from the story that you've told, which indicates that this young lady perhaps was not a mindless robot and followed the light within, that she did not give in or get... have the wool pulled over her eyes or what have you, as far as what was right and what wasn't right, and that she always had leanings towards reaching out to a church of some sort.
Yes, she was always searching.
Right.
Always searching. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just sort of inbred in her.
Yeah. And I don't know if you are aware of or believe in past lives, but that's sort of a feeling you have, because my feeling is in instances like these where there's something so obviously out of kilter that there may be a karmic reason, or it may be the soul has chosen this particular path in order to grow spiritually, which is a heck of a way to grow, but, you know,
uh-huh.
it's good. But also the compassion that your daughter showed when she found out and became aware that this young lady, at 15, she was a young girl, wasn't eating and took her under her wing. I mean, that to me is a very kind thing to do. It seems to me it shows that you taught your daughter and the other children that, you know, there's more to life than just being nice to someone. It's being aware and taking care of people.
That's right. My daughter is, I guess it was something maybe she was just born with. And, of course, I was a teacher, and I adored all my kids.
Of course.
And she was very compassionate.
Okay.
And she didn't mind sharing. You know, Diane was brought up with a grandmother that sent her all of her clothes from I. Magnans from the day she was born until she graduated from college. And this little girl had nothing, and I didn't mind at all bringing her into the home and sharing all that.
That's beautiful.
That's
absolutely wonderful. And it's something that we wish more people could do when they see children left out on the street. I remember there was a lady down the street for a while, and She was, I guess, a prostitute. She'd invite men in, and she had children, like 3 and 5 or something like that, and she'd make them go and stay out, no matter how cold and windy it was, to leave the house while she was entertaining.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and so we had a neighbor down the street, Mrs. McHenry, who was a widow, and she would saw these little kids one day. We didn't, of course, and I saw her. I tried to play with the kids, but they were afraid to play with me. Their mother was always screaming at them. And anyway, she took the little one in, and little ones in, and she fed them, and she got them coats and everything, you know,
mm-hmm.
basically. And the mother just didn't care. She'd leave them out until dark, from dawn till dusk if she could.
Yeah.
So, you know, being aware of who's in your neighborhood and what's going on, I think this is a very compassionate story. And you're still in touch with this young lady. Can you tell me how she turned out to be a nurse, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. She was a very good nurse, and she was a very compassionate nurse,
mm-hmm.
and which I think is rather interesting because of the fact that lots of times when people are so badly treated,
mm-hmm. brutalized, really.
Yes, that they turn around to be so angry that
mm-hmm.
they are not kind to other people.
Right. Right.
But
in this instance,
she was very, very compassionate.
So how did it turn out for her, what, twin sister?
Her twin sister married and stayed married and brought up a son and mm-hmm. led a much more normal life.
Okay. So her twin sister, is the mother still alive? Is she in around anywhere?
No. No, she's been gone a long time, and also the stepfather.
So as a stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also physically and sexually abusive, was he
yes.
not?
Yes, he was.
Okay, so here are young girls who really and truly suffered horrifically, and they've managed to, you know, it's amazing that someone didn't report or try to do something to help these children all along the way.
Well, you know, one of the reasons that I think they were protected was because the stepfather was a dentist. They lived in a very beautiful home, had riding horses, and commanded a position in the community.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was part of their protection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very often, not very often, but abuse is not a matter of class. It's a matter of opportunity, and I think people who are, I think, have some kind of an illness and don't know how to love properly. And it's also about power and abuse. What are some of the other things that you can remember, some of the things that this young lady went through, and how did she ever write any of this down herself for therapeutic purposes?
No, she hasn't. And, you know, I have been thinking of asking her to write a page for the web page
mm-hmm.
about her reactions to
uh-huh.
the world now.
Okay.
And her childhood, and just kind of spill
bring
out her
healing.
Heart.
Yes, to bring healing.
And that kind of fits in with what you're saying.
Yeah, very often writing is a way of lancing what's happened. I'm sure she's had counseling and therapy over the years in some form or another. I mean, she had to go through some form of therapy and counseling to go to nursing school because that's part of the curriculum now. But still in all, you know, it seems to me that she would have a lot to say and a lot to share with others who've gone through, not necessarily like, but abuse issues, because each one is so unique.
That's right.
And each person has their own feelings and their own thoughts and their own ways of reacting to the suffering that they go through. But there is that common rapport and that knowledge that can be shared with others. But again, I guess I'm just speculating here that it might be awfully painful for her to have to open up the wounds. But how and what age range is she now?
Well, she's she's in her late 50s.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that she wouldn't have moved into doing something before this, because it usually strikes, but it could strike at this age. where there's this desire to get rid of all the stuff that's, you know, bottled up inside.
Well,
and,
that's very interesting that you would say that, because I really hadn't thought of that. That it might be helpful to her.
Yeah, at least for her own, you know, healing purposes. And unless she's already done this on her own.
No,
and,
but, you know, she's married. She lives on a barge in Amsterdam.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You know, being around water is one of the most healing environments that you can be in. You doing, did you know that?
Yes, I am very aware of that.
You probably did live near the water, right?
Well, I grew up spending all my summers on Puget Sound.
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah, we had a summer home on an island up there.
Oh, how wonderful.
So my whole life, and my folks retired up there. And, so we played in the water and on boats, and that's the way we grew up.
Oh, how marvelous.
Yeah, we were very fortunate.
And your daughter, what does she do now?
Well, my daughter graduated from University of Oregon, and she married a counselor, and they had four boys.
Oh, wow.
And the oldest one is a captain in the Marines and a lawyer.
Wow.
And he's been aide-de-camp to Brigadier General Jenkins and overseas for the last year. And we're expecting him home this month.
Well, how wonderful. I know you're going to bring out the fatted cat for that one.
And his two younger brothers are in medical school.
Oh, how wonderful.
In Phoenix, and the youngest brother is going to business college.
Oh, that sounds like they have had a wonderful, wonderful life.
Well, they're all Eagle Scouts.
Oh.
And their mother just spent her life being mother.
Well, you know, that's a big job.
And she worked hard at it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys have just been great.
I think, you know, it's so wonderful that people have the opportunity to stay home and take care of kids. I don't know if I would have had the intestinal fortitude to do so.
Well, I worked. I taught for 30 years, but I always picked my daughter up at school. I just left, and I was very fortunate in the fact that I could.
Yes, I understand. I was one of the early latchkey kids, but you know what? It was a wonderful learning opportunity for me, too, and I learned to be responsible and take responsibility for myself and become dependable and independent, and, you know, it was a good life growing up then. It really was.
Yes, that's right.
But my mom had to work. Her husband died. My father died in World War II, so as a widow, she was, you know, she had to provide support somehow.
Sure.
And so she had a wonderful career with the government. She remarried, and so I really understand a little bit about this. You know, you've written some stories, and the one thing that you brought up about this was the witchcraft, and you write in the book some of the stuff that, and there are what they call black witches, and there are white witches.
Mm-hmm.
As I understand it. Now, she tended to be the black witch, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And the children were aware of her casting spells and...
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There, she told about her mother going out and drawing circle in the dirt and calling in big birds.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, all of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the candles and the ceremonies and all that. She was definitely that part of that life.
So you had mentioned when she came to live with you, she had brought dark spirits with you. How with her rather. How did you know? I mean, how did this kind of stuff manifest itself?
Well, she started telling me, well, the first thing she did was she started going through the house and taking out literature, books, anything that she thought would attract demons.
Uh-huh. Taking it out? What do you mean? Getting rid of it?
Getting rid of it.
Okay.
Getting it out of the house.
Okay.
And, you know, it wasn't very much. I mean, I never was into wanting to read about witchcraft or any of that. I wasn't interested. But there were things that she was afraid of.
Oh, she was afraid of?
Yes. And
okay.
Then because she didn't want the demons in the house.
Okay.
Because she talked about the demons being in her closet when she was a little girl.
Really?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. And, let's see. Another thing that she did that I just found out recently because I started talking to my son-in-law about it, when I first got her, she used to hide in her bedroom, and she had a big gray sweatshirt, and she would get under the sweatshirt and put it up over her head, and she would sit there endlessly and just rock back and forth.
Okay.
And I asked my son-in-law, what did that mean? And he said, people that have been abused physically as infants are apt to do that.
Right.
And I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah, it's a way of comforting.
Yeah.
And it's, did she lock her in closets? Did she get locked in closets? That's also another common abuse factor that people do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, locking them in closets or something, or the room so they can't get out.
Well, she eventually got over that here. She stopped doing it. But, you know, there was a lot, of course, that I didn't know or understand. We just lived with it, and she just really, I think she turned out pretty good.
Okay. What are some of the other things that you particularly remember about her? What were some of the challenges in helping a child like this deal with trying to form a life that's normal and filled with love and caring and is absent all the drama of such a dark background?
Uh-huh. Well, I was writing at that time children's books, and I was writing in the dining room at that time, and we had a fireplace real close. And then all the great books were on a shelf right by the fireplace.
Uh-huh.
And while I was writing, she would be lying on the floor reading the great books. She had that kind of a mind.
Okay.
And then she sang. She had a lovely voice. So I bought her a guitar and told her I would give her lessons. And she said, oh, you don't have to give me lessons. I can teach myself. So she played the guitar a lot and sang, and I think that was very comforting to her.
Oh, that's extremely healing.
Yes.
Music is one of the most exquisite gifts, I think, that the good Lord has given us, because it's something that does heal the soul. And that was a wonderful thing to do, quite frankly.
Yeah, and she got very good at it, and she had a lovely voice, and she was very cute.
Uh-huh.
And she sang kind of soft, sweet songs.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, and she was very, very popular at school.
Okay.
Believe it or not, she was. She was just...
Well, I would think she would be. She sounds like a delightful young woman.
Yeah, she was. She ran for office as soon as she got there and became the wolf that went to the football games. And she went around with the nicest boys in school,
uh-huh.
People that my husband had when he was teaching, so that we knew them well.
Uh-huh.
And she behaved herself.
Uh-huh.
We didn't ever have to worry about her coming in drinking or anything like that.
Wonderful.
She behaved. Well, when I first got her, I said, now we're going to sit down and talk about the rules.
Uh-huh.
And she said, oh, you don't have to tell me. She says, Diane said, if I'm not in and doing what you want me to do, that Mama will call the fire department and the police department, and she lists all these things, and she says, and Diane said, don't ever think Mama's kidding.
Probably real true, isn't it? You don't mess with Mom, huh? I think there's a song written about you, only they have a different name. Don't mess with somebody or other. I can't remember who it was. Big John or somebody like that. Don't mess with somebody or other. It was so funny. Well, you know, that's true. I remember one time I decided to play hooky and I come home from school on time. I marched in about the time my parents were dialing the police, and let me tell you, that was the first and the last time that I ever thought about not coming home when I was supposed to be home.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
Oh, man, I was sure God was going to strike me dead in a greasy little spot on the floor.
Oh, my. Well.
You don't ever tempt your mama. Not ever.
Right. Mother used to say, don't be impudent, and it was before I even know what impudent meant.
Whatever it is, don't do it.
But I sure learned that we didn't. We weren't impudent to our mother, I'm telling
you. Oh, your father. I mean,
oh my.
No. One was very, very careful how one addressed one's parents, and it was, yes, sir, how high do you want me to jump, and how often, you know? You didn't dare.
But
you
then
didn't
it was
dare do anything different.
Yeah, but it was very supportive and very loving.
And you felt safe and secure, and you knew your parents loved you, and it was a good thing.
It was
a good thing.
We need more of that now.
Oh, we do. And, you know, you just go through some of these. Now, there was some time when this woman, having given up, she didn't really give up that easily, in a sense, this child, did she? That as in reading the book, I noticed that there was some second thoughts about this woman. She wanted money from you or something or other.
We weren't sure what she wanted, but I had to have certain amount of papers from her in order to get her daughter into a hospital if I needed to.
Right.
And I felt very vulnerable about that. And so my husband said, we'll just tell her that she'll have the papers here, or that Rita will be on a certain bus and you be sure to pick her up. And boy, the next day she was on her way down. She did not want that child. And my husband telephoned me. I had taken Rita to San Francisco so we could forget, and, you know, because
right.
we were nervous.
Right.
And he said, her mother's on the way, and she says she'll sign anything.
Uh-huh.
So, but that's what it took, you know, just to threaten her.
Yeah, to me, it just seems so completely I don't understand. I don't understand how you can throw a child away. I know. As I said, in some instances, you know, it can be karmic. You know, it could be a past life coming up. Again, I said I don't know if you believe in such. But you know, if there's a holdover from a prior relationship, it can happen that way. You know, there can be this dislike of a current child.
Mm-hmm.
But still, to me, human life is so precious that it kind of, I kind of really don't know what to say, you know,
when I hear it.
Huh?
It's very baffling trying to figure it out.
Yeah, and you did what was the best thing. You didn't worry about figuring it out. You went and did something about it.
That's right.
To me, what the only thing you can do, I know that there are many people who take in neighbors and children's neighbors, and I've met a few, and they're kind and compassionate, and it's just something, I guess, that we're supposed to do. That's what we're here on Earth to do, is to help each other out.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other things in life you've done that are really, really cool? You've got a great story to tell. You've got a nice, long life. to share, and we've got some time left, and I'd like you to just share part of this. And by the way, again, the book is called Journey Out of Darkness, and it's about her her taking care and loving a gal. It was just essentially a throwaway kid. And the other thing was that she liked her daughter so much, the other daughter, right?
Yes.
I'm going to guess that the other daughter buckled down to what Mom had to say and was more obedient to Mom.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that. And Rita was rebellious.
Yeah, she was her own woman.
Yeah, she was very, very rebellious. And she was hard to handle. She wasn't for my husband and me. She wasn't that way at all. We didn't even run into any of that.
Well, no, because you weren't seeking to destroy her.
No. So, anyway, she used to say, it's just like Christmas every day here.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, it was fun.
So what got you, well, just being a teacher got you interested, I guess, in writing.
Pardon me?
Being a teacher, I guess, got you interested in writing.
No, I was writing when I was 8 years old.
Really?
Both of my parents, my dad taught literature in a college, and
uh-huh.
my mother was a graduate of Northwestern University in the School of Theater,
oh,
and I
wonderful.
Grew up playing on backstage.
Really?
Yeah.
So, oh, how lovely.
So that was sort of my background. So I was just scribbling before I could spell anything. I was writing.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And some of the other stories that you have to tell that are such a beautiful, that are so beautiful, you know, about your life. What are some of the stories that you have written about?
Well, my husband had Alzheimer's, and I did a memoir after he died. I took care of him for 5 years.
Oh.
And after he died, I decided I wanted to tell him what happened while he was ill.
Uh-huh.
And so I wrote a little book about just exactly what happened, and just as if I was talking to him.
Uh-huh.
And it's a tearjerker.
And what?
It's a tearjerker.
Of course it is. But how beautiful. How healing.
It really is a lovely book.
That has got to be an extremely healing book. And what's the name of that book, darling?
Dearly Beloved, I Still Love You.
Oh, that's a beautiful title.
And it's on my website or on Amazon.
Well, why don't you give your website and maybe people can look it up, because I know that's not unique to just you, my dear. There are many who are suffering from that and the pain of it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What is your website, dear?
J-E-A-N D-A-R-B-Y
Okay.
P-H-D
D or B as a boy?
Yeah. PhD as in dog.
D as in dog. Okay, got it. Okay.
.com.
Okay.
And it's in. You can order it there.
Okay.
And I did a book about my two oldest grandchildren when they
mm-hmm.
were. One of them was 3 years old, and one of them was in his mother's womb.
Mhm.
And it's the baby in the womb talking to his older brother.
That is lovely.
And it, I sold it a long time ago, and it's been on the market, and it's also on my website.
Okay.
And
so if people want to know more about you, they can go to your website, which
yeah,
you just given.
And they could write to me, and I'll write back.
Okay. And let me leave my website and my email just in case. It's www.multiplepathwaysinc.com.
Multiple
Pathways Inc. INC. Dot com. And my personal email is psychicworlds4 with a capital P and a capital W, 4@AOL.com. And, of course, you can always reach me on bbsradio.com. And I'm hoping that you all are enjoying this marvelous story of a wonderful human being who took compassion on a stranger and a family who took in and got a new member and expanded their life and their love and their experience through sharing their lives with another human being who sounds like a wonderful, darling person. You can always call us at bbsradio.com. You should have that phone number right in front of you to call in and talk if you want to ask any questions of Miss Darby about how this came about or any of the other phenomena that came through. I'm sure she'd be delighted to talk to you about it. I'm trying to find BBS Radio, which should be right in front of my nose right here. And it probably is at some point going to be right in front of my nose, but I can't find it right at the moment. Ah, here it is, 877-876-5227. So if you have any comments or any questions to ask this lovely lady, please do so. We have a little time left to chat, and she'd love to answer any questions that you have. And what are some of the other wonderful things? What have you done since your husband's passing? I know my grandmother died of Alzheimer's years and years ago, and I remember they had a different name for it in those days, I think. I'm not sure what it was, but I still remember, and how quickly it came on her.
Oh, it's devastating.
Yeah, my grandmother was gone within 6 months of dementia, I think they used to call it.
Well,
she was gone in about 6 to 9 months, which is very fast.
Well, really and truly, if you're living with somebody with Alzheimer's, now my husband stayed sweet. He was, I was able to take care of him right up until the last 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And he was easy to handle, and I don't know, he just stayed sweet. And some of these people get so belligerent.
It depends, I guess, on what portion of the brain is affected
yeah,
the most.
That's right.
And did you have hospice care?
Did I have other care?
Hospice.
No.
No hospice at the end?
No, he went to the hospital, and they adjusted his medication, and he slipped into a coma, and we brought him home, and he lived for 3 days.
Oh, my.
At home.
Oh, my.
Uh-huh.
Well, at least he was home with you, my dear.
Yeah.
And that sounds like it was a very beautiful, it sounds like a wonderful love story.
Well, it really kind of was. We ran away and got married when I was 18.
Oh, my goodness.
And then my husband flew 100 missions in China.
Oh, well, was he under Chiang Kai-shek or
yes.
No.
Uh-huh.
And, wow.
My
father-in-law was in that arena, and so was my stepbrother.
Oh.
Yes, they were all over there. Yeah, my stepbrother, my former father-in-law was Donald Pricer. And I think Time Week did a spread about him years and years ago. I saw it, and about his service over there.
Oh.
So it was pretty cool. So isn't that neat?
Yeah.
I bet you were glad to have him back home.
Oh, yes. Yes, and he was a...
The war that never was?
Pardon me?
They never dignified it with a war. They still call it the Korean conflict.
Right.
Like people weren't dodging bullets,
they lost a lot of those young men that first went over. He flew 100 missions, and as soon as he got home, they cut it to 50. they were losing so many of them.
Well, of course. Yeah, no, in World War II, my father was killed. They he would have made his missions, but they upped the number of missions from 18 to 25 or something, whatever it was. I can't remember the exact ones. And had they sent him home without upping it, he would have made it home.
Oh, God.
But as it is, he never made it back. He got killed on his 17th mission.
Oh, my word. Those are the heartbreakers, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh. I never knew him. He never made it back, and we only saw each other once when I was like 6 months old, just before they sent him overseas.
Oh, my.
He was a basic when I was born. Yes. Good evening, and welcome to the Higher Dimension. Who's calling, please? Hello? Hello? Is there someone calling? I guess not. Do you hear that? Oh, dear. Okay, I guess not. I guess it's just on this side of the phone. At any rate, if somebody wants to come in, we'd be glad to hear you. But what are some of the other things that you would like to share with us this evening? I mean, there's just so much information that you have, and you have such a remarkable history and so much love to share.
Well, right now, I am in my study these days writing the second book about Rita.
Okay.
And I don't know exactly what I'm going to call it, but she had a very, very exciting adult life. And I'm playing with the idea of continuing to work on that. And I am also, I really specialized in teaching reading, and most of my young children's books were meant for young children to read.
Uh-huh.
And they really caught on and were very, very popular at the time.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm thinking of putting together a book on education for young children.
Okay.
And I think it's kind of fun to do.
Yes.
And I'm working on that.
Oh, I think that's absolutely fabulous. What would be your theme for the children?
What would be the theme?
Yes.
Well, the theme of my experience in the classroom is that these children are our most precious gift.
Oh, you bet.
And there's a lot of things that teachers do not know about children. For instance, all the different kinds of dyslexia.
Oh, yes.
And so, since you don't know whether or not a child is listening or not,
mm-hmm.
it's so easy to be nice. And you be nice to our children.
Right.
And firm, but nice.
Oh, yes.
And I have anecdotes in the book about different experiences that I had with different age groups.
Uh-huh.
And how to teach children to trust in the classroom. Because, see, when I was teaching, I had like 37 children in a room.
Wow, that's a lot.
Whether it was kindergarten or grade 6, there was always at least 37.
Wow, that's a lot of kids, darling.
But it was a cinch to teach. And this idea of the fewer children, the better the teacher gets is ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. Most of the classes that I was in were about between 25 and 27 kids. I mean, 30 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we had nuns teaching us.
Oh, you went, yeah, Catholic school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you listened.
Well, sure.
But I have to admit, they were good. They were beautiful women, every one of them.
Well, all my grandchildren went to Catholic school and to Catholic college.
Uh-huh.
And so they were very well. They had good educations.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, their mother was a credentialed teacher also. And
really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so she followed in Your tradition, huh?
Yeah, she didn't really teach. You know, she had four kids.
Yeah. Well, you're teaching when you have children, let me tell you.
But she was...
maybe
she
not as
was,
a
she knew what she was looking
for,
for.
But she taught.
Yeah, she knew what she was looking for.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think if you develop a certain kind of discipline in the room and a certain kind of trust with children, that and also I believe an old-fashioned presentation and drill.
Oh yes.
And checking and drill and checking and they don't. I don't think it's happening now.
No, it's been a long while, but I have to admit that I'm a little surprised. I was surprised at how little of the liberal education is really taught kids nowadays. I'm trying to figure out why they thought it was necessary to drop it, because quite frankly, for many years as we had it, it seemed to work really well. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Our high school dropouts and all that, the numbers just keep climbing and climbing, and, you know, they can't handle high school. And it's just a shame.
Yeah.
But
you know, the pendulum swings back. You know that.
Uh-huh.
If you watch over a period of years, they go through, it goes back and forth, doesn't it?
Yes,
I mean,
it
you
does.
Must have seen that yourself.
But you know, we got to get a hold of this. And anyway, mine would be very, very different from anything that anybody has, and maybe it wouldn't be popular, and maybe nobody would want it, but I'm playing with it.
Well, if the children learn the subject matter, what is the old expression, the proof is in the pudding?
Yes, that's right.
Hey, if they learn whether it was popular or not, it was the right way.
Uh-huh.
That's all you can say, and that's all you got to do. You don't have to apologize. You don't have to explain. It just is what it is.
Yeah, well, I was invited back by the Ford Foundation to explain my reading program.
Uh-huh.
When I was teaching, and that was very, very interesting. And I spoke at Columbia University.
Really?
A real large group, and it was, yes, the Ford Foundation invited me. And
oh, how lovely.
So, you know, I've had a lot of background, a lot of experience.
What a fantastic honor that must have been.
Well, I don't know how they chose me, but...
I hear you didn't say no.
Oh, my, no. My school district was thrilled to death.
Who was?
The school district.
They were. I'll bet they were dancing in the streets and their little chests were powder pigeon puffed, right?
Oh, golly. And I was, you know, I had sold a lot of children's books, science books and readers that little children could read. I suppose that's one way they found out about what I was doing in the classroom.
Uh-huh.
But also, one of the college professors from a nearby college came in and started observing me when I was very, very first teaching out in the country.
Uh-huh.
And she wrote a chapter in her book about my work.
Well, and how nice.
I don't know how the word got out, but it did. Yeah.
Well, don't look a gift horse in the mouth, isn't that they're saying?
Yeah,
you know,
that's
don't
right.
Don't
take a piece,
just take it. Take it, say thank you, and ride it home, right? Well, I just think that's absolutely wonderful. And the fact is that to this day, you are continuing to be active and learning and encouraging people and thinking of children and still keeping in mind what is so important for children to know and to learn and to study. And... you know, that takes a lot of dedication on your part. I bet you've done an awful lot that you haven't even thought to think of, and maybe you're not even aware of all the lives that you have touched with your great gift.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate your saying that.
Well, I don't see how it could be any other way. You know, the good Lord sends wonderfully gifted people from time to time, and... they're there to touch lives and to make life a much more wonderful and glorious feeling here on Earth, you know?
Well, thank you.
Gifted teachers are far too precious a commodity to not use and not respect and not honor and not appreciate to have around. I know my feel, but my mother was a fantastic teacher in her own right, and I've been honored to have been her daughter for so long that she taught me everything, and I'll tell you, God bless her. There's so much in this life that you can learn, and she was always one for education.
Mm-hmm.
Always one. She was always one to encourage reading with me. Always one to encourage my learning about things, exploring things, and to give me the confidence to go out, even if it sounded silly or something like that. She said, don't worry about what other people think. You know, follow your dream. Do it. You won't know until you tried it.
Well, that certainly is true.
So, you know, it's wonderful. And so you're going to follow up on your young ladies. What about the sister of that young lady?
I don't really know her.
Okay.
She's an artist. I guess she's pretty talented, but I don't really, you know, there was probably a lot of resentment there that I took Kathy or took Rita.
Well, you didn't have, you know, for the thing is that the child was thrown away.
Mm-hmm, that's
and
right.
And taking her was sort of like, you know, you weren't going to get rid of the gift, you know?
That's right.
And then maybe the child, did other child suffer as much of the same type of abuse, of sexual abuse, et cetera, that your...
Yes, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure she did.
Well, it's amazing that both girls survived to adulthood, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it is.
And we can only hope that their life, this life, the rest of it in this life, has been wonderful and blessed and full of good things to help mitigate what they went through. Because I certainly seem to think, I feel very strongly that they absolutely deserve to have a better life.
Well, they certainly do, and I'm sure the it is a lot better. It has been better.
Well, that's good.
And,
is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience this evening? Any other stories or anecdotes that you can remember?
Well, I don't really think of anything special, except the fact that I have probably always maybe been surprised at the deep affection that I felt for this girl immediately. And it just never wavered. We had a wonderful, wonderful relationship and a wonderful time together. And I admire and respect her and her life and the decisions that she has made.
Fantastic. Well, my feeling is, you know, she was probably led to that school, and your daughter was led to that school, and I think the good Lord does happen to have a lot to do behind the scenes with this, and so he gave her and you the opportunity to touch each other's lives and to love each other, and for her to know what it's like to have a loving mother. And I'm sure it just confirmed in her what she felt was wrong all her life, and that what she went through was not right, but what she had with you was the way it should be. I think we're getting the signal that we are going to have to close now. I am so glad that you had the time to spend with us this evening and to be my guest. I wish you all the success. I hope our listeners will look into your story. I think it's fascinating. Jean, thank you so much for all your time. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being our guest this evening on the Higher Dimension of BBSRadio.com. We look forward to seeing you or hearing from you next week and talking to you with another story and another wonderful guest. And again, Jean, thank you. God bless you.
thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I'm Phyllis Pricer for the Higher Dimensions. Good night.
Good night.